Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is Mem Dalad. We are on the very top of Mem Dalad Amud Aleph. We start today with a Mishnah. Eger v'Tafel is a topic that's come up time and again throughout the sixth parak of Brachos, but if you have not noticed, the Mishnah has not yet discussed it. It's one of the Ikarim, pun intended, of the sixth parak. It's one of the fundamental principles of making Bracha, this idea that you have a primary food and a secondary food. And we've relied on this topic, on this principle, a number of times throughout the sixth parak. And here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is now going to be discussing the principle of Ikar V'Tafel. Admittedly, the Gemara has very little to discuss about it once we get to the primary Mishnah. But if I can guess, it's been discussed so many times in so many different avenues. So the Gemara kind of, you know, relied on all the previous Gemaras to discuss it. But anyway, we begin. Hevi'il l'fan of Meliach, Tchila.
Primary, and then no more brachas. We do make brachas.
Right. Well, let's first discuss it in the context of the Mishnah. Hevi'il l'fan of Meliach. So some very salty food is brought in front of you, tchila, and it was brought to you first. Upasimo, and bread's there. Now, bread is a supplement to the Meliach. There's very salty food, meaning that the salty food by itself is going to be very hard to process, to chew, and to digest. Well, digestion, I don't think, is much of an issue, but it's just hard. It's hard to eat the salty food, and so therefore, it needs a side, and the side happens to be bread. So obviously, the Mishnah is giving us the most extreme example of Ikar V'Tafel. Meaning, generally speaking, when we think about bread, we think about bread as a Ikar. The Gemara just the other day talked about eating food within a meal, and the meal is basically going to serve as a frame around the bread, and all the food that you're eating in the course of the meal is going to be exempted by the bread. Bread is also one of the five grains. So when we talk about bread, bread never takes the role of a tafel, and that's not true. And that's exactly the point the Mishnah is trying to make. That if the only purpose of the bread is to serve as a chaser for the meliach, for the salty food, so then the bread gains the status of being a tafel. And that's what the Mishnah teaches us. Hey, feel the fun of meliach tchila. So the meliach is brought to you first, upat imo, and together with it is bread. Mevarech al meliach upoter as a pas. So you'll make a bracha on the meliach and it'll exempt the bread. Shapas tfeilalo, because in this circumstance, in this context, the bread now becomes secondary to the primary, which is the meliach. Zakal, and the Mishnah then tells us that this is the general rule. Koshu ikar vimo tfeila, that when I have an ikar and together with it is the tafel, mevarech al ikar upoter as a tfeila. So you make a bracha on the ikar and it's going to exempt the tafel.
Because of the size of the bread?
No.
We don't pass it like this.
It's a Mishnah. I mean, you, first of all, my comment back to you is not a good argument. Just because it's a Mishnah doesn't mean we paskin like it, but we do paskin like this. In other words, this is a very basic halacha, Ikar V'Tafel, and the Mishnah's example obviously is very deliberate. In other words, we in a circumstance like the Mishnah is describing, we would paskin like this.
How about washing?
Presumably, it's a great question. Presumably, you wouldn't wash over the bread if you're not making a brach over the bread. You wouldn't wash over the bread. I could be wrong about that point, so I'm open to the idea that I'm guessing on the washing. I don't know. It's a great question. Just another observation. I know the example is extreme, and I appreciate everyone's reaction to the example. But that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah here is providing a chiddush. Just also a good observation in that the Mishnah says that klal. Now, if you've been learning Gemara long enough, you'll know that when you see the Mishnah say Zeh Klal, so that means that the Mishnah is telling us, and there's going to be an additional rule coming up, an additional Chiddush coming up. And what's that additional Chiddush going to be? So it happens to be interesting. Over here, I know the Gemara coming up ahead. The Gemara is not going to address the line of Zeh Klal. This is a rule, which generally the Gemara's question is, Lasui Emai, what's it coming to include? Over here, the Gemara doesn't do that. Okay. Let's move ahead. Umi ikamide davi maleach ikor pas tfeila. Is it possible? Like even the Gemara is reacting, right? That the Meliach can be the Ikar and the bread is going to be Tafel. Amar Avacha, Bread Rav Avir, Amar Ravashi, but Ochles Peres Gino Sarshanim. So Ravashi says, well, I'll tell you why the person primarily is interested in eating Meliach. It's because of the following. It's the Gemara is going to describe the following chain reaction. You see, started off with Peres Ginosar. Now Peres Ginosar, so it's a fruit. I know that's not very helpful. I know that. But nevertheless, it's a fruit that's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of hard to describe. The Gemara is going to try to describe it. Okay, it's extraordinarily sweet. It comes from the Kinneret. Okay, I understand I'm not helping a lot over here, but the point is as follows. What happens is that they eat the peres ginosar, and it's super, super sweet. And what you need to do is you need to combat that. So how do you combat that? By countering it with a salty food. Okay, but the salty food is really salty. So how do you combat that? So you have a piece of bread. So if you're following now the chain reaction, so the sweet fruit now needs a counter of the salt, which then in turn needs a counter of the bread. Okay, now, if you're following the chain reaction, so then let's ask a very simple question. So shouldn't the maliach really be now subsidiary to the fruit? Meaning now, who's the ikar and who's the tafel? Mm-hmm. So the fruit's the ikar, right. The salty food's the tafel, and the bread would be a tafel to the tafel. Fine, now it'd be a tertiary food. But if this is the circumstance the Mishnah is describing, shouldn't the maliach now be a secondary food? It should be a tafel? So Tosfos asks this very question. See the top Tosfos on the Amud. Ochle peres ginosar shanu. Sheha maliach, ikar, shuba la hashiv halev, shenechlash mimnei metikos haperos. Good. So now the maliach is the ikar because it's coming there to negate the sweetness of the fruit. Va'apash la'achav tafel, ve'eno ba'ela b'shva maliach. And then the bread that comes afterwards is only there to basically chase away the saltiness that you just ate. And so now Tosfos asks a question, which is obvious. Vim tomar, peres havi ikar, maliach tafel, levirchal haperos, lifter kulu. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about the peros being the ikar, the salty food being the tafel, and the bread being the tafel to the tafel. We're still not bothered by the bread. Bread is now, it's not even secondary, it's tertiary in this chain, but the maliach should be secondary to the peres ginosar. Tosfos gives two answers to this really basic question of Yesh Lamar. Answer number one, Demar Shalo Achal HaPeres Ba'osa Mamad. Okay, so one suggestion could be is that you were not eating the peres in this sitting. Okay, now that's an interesting answer, and I'll tell you why I think it's interesting. Because over here, when we're talking about Ikar Tafel, and I know I made this point earlier in the Perek, but I don't mind making it again. When talking about Ikar V'Tafel, so generally speaking, we think in terms of, I'll speak for myself, I think in terms of eating the two foods together. Eating the two foods together, where it's basically the foods are combined together, and then I'm having the two foods at the same time. From this Tosfos, you don't get the sense, if, at least in this first answer, that that's an absolute requirement. What is an absolute requirement? They have to be eaten at the same sitting. If they're not eating in the same sitting, so then I can't apply the rule of Ikar V'Tafel. But if they are eaten in the same sitting, so you can apply the rule of Ikar V'Tafel, and it's not necessarily that it has to be eaten mamish at the same time, can be eaten one after the other, it just has to be within the same sitting. Since the peres ginosar were being eaten at a different sitting, so then it can't fall under the category of Ikar V'Tafel, because it was at a different sitting. That's answer number one. Inami, second answer of Tosfos. Another possibility, says Tosfos, is that at the time when you were eating the peres ginosar, you didn't know what was coming next. Meaning, right, I'm narrating a little bit in the second answer of Tosfos, but it's your first experience of eating peres ginosar. So you don't know what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next is that sweetness taste in your mouth is overwhelming. Oh my gosh, I need a chaser. So now you're running to get the maliach, meaning you had no intention whatsoever to eat the maliach afterwards because you didn't know. And then after eating the maliach, like, I need a chaser for that. So then you go ahead and you run and get the bread. In the second answer now, your mamash had no intention whatsoever to eat the maliach and eat the peres, and eat the pas after the peres ginosar. Now in the second answer, it sounds like Tosfos is even expanding, meaning that if I eat the peres ginosar with the intent of eating the maliach and eating the bread afterwards, so then it sounds like you got full coverage. Meaning that ikar is going to cover under those circumstances. This second answer seemingly is even a further expansion on the first answer of Tosfos. Okay, a lot to think about. The Gemara basically now is going to launch into a discussion of peres ginosar. The Gemara is fascinated with peres ginosar. It's discussed here. It's discussed also in the beginning of Megillah and Erevin. Okay, the Gemara enjoys this topic. Amar Rabba Barbachan, we're back to the Gemara. Ki havazin abasrei de Rabbi Yochanan lamechel peres ginosar. So we went with Rabbi Yochanan to eat peres ginosar. Peres ginosar, as I mentioned, is by the Kinneret. These Amorayim are all by the Kinneret, right? Tveria, Hoshaya, Tzipori, okay, all towns that are just west of the Kinneret. So ki havina beimea menaktin lelechol chavechad asar. And look, we were collecting 1,000 of these peres ginosar. So if 100 of us went out, each one collected 10. And And if we only went out 10 people, so each one collected 100, the goal is to get 1,000. 100 of them went into a basket. The basket held 3 sa'a. Okay? 30 basket in all. So the... Now, we would then eat it, and we would eat all of it, and we swore that we weren't full. Now, the way I translated it was a good translation, but it's not super accurate. Ziyuna means it wasn't food. And the Gemara just quickly edits. Ziyuna sakadacha, what do you mean it wasn't food? Of course it was food. Ela ema mizona. It didn't satiate us. Okay, in other words, it's a fruit. So you eat fruit, you eat a lot of fruit, and it doesn't really fill you up. So over here, obviously, the Gemara speaks in perhaps hyperbolic terms, but regardless, the point is that it's really sweet, it's fruit, and we never were sowed. Rabbi Abba Achal Adahavi Sharuk Le Dudva Me'apuse. And the Gemara over here speaks, and again, I'll suggest in slight hyperbolic terms, in terms of how sweet a fruit it was. When Rabbi Abba ate it, so his face shined so much that when the fly hit his face, the fly just kind of slid right off of his face. Okay, I understand, by the way, it's a very creative description of, like, it's really sweet. Okay. Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Ava Achle, Denatar Mazaihu. They would eat it to the point where the hair fell out. Rav Shimon Malakish, Ava Achle Ad Demarid. So, and Rav Shimon Malakish would eat it until basically he was delirious. Right? Marid over here, an interesting word, but Rashi describes it almost like a, just like, whatever. A little bit, he lost his mind. The, right? Da'ato mitarefes. The amalu Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Nisiyah, v'havi mishadalei. I'm sorry. The amalu Rabbi Yochanan debay Nisiyah, v'havi mishadalei Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah be'alusha abasrei, and carriers were carrying it over, umayse le lebeis, and he brought it home to his wife, to his house. And Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he reports the following. There was a city that was quote-unquote owned by Yana HaMelech. So Bahar HaMelech, Shayim Mozim Imenu Shishim Ribui Safli Taris. And from this one city, what did they collect? They collect small little fish. Lekotetei Te'enim. And those were for the cutters of the figs. So in other words, the king had some sort of employed work. And for his help, for his work, so he got this collection of fish, and the Gemara is just simply giving us reports, meaning we just talked about the Paris Ginosar that came from the Kinneret, and now we're talking about the fish that were collected from a particular city that was owned by Yana HaMelech. And he gave it to his workers, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and that covered them from 1 week to another week. These reports over here, what the Gemara is trying to achieve by telling us his reports, my best guess would be that it's just a shvach of Eretz Yisrael, just praising Eretz Yisrael for what it's able to produce. Another report told to us by Ravin. It can almost guarantee. Rav Dimi comes and gives a report, so Ravin's not far behind, also going to give a report. Normally they're talking in terms of halacha. Here they're reporting in terms of the Paris Haaretz, but okay. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says that Yana HaMelech had a city, Shayu Moridim Imenu, Arba'im Sa'a goes los, Mishlosh Brechos Bechodesh. So 600, sorry, I got my numbers wrong. The 40 sa'a of young birds were taken from this particular tree and from the nest that they were in. Okay. Ki asa Rav Yitzchak Amar Ira Chasaisa Be'Eretz Yisrael V'Guf Nishma. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael and Gufnis was its name. Shayu Ba Shmonim Zugos Achim Kohanim Nisum L'Shmonim Zugos Achayos Kohanos. So in it, what did you have? You had 80 pairs of shiduchim, where two brothers of Kohanim were married to two sisters of Kohanos. So in other words, this was, again, a shvach of Eretz Yisrael, and how meticulous they were in terms of yichus, and making sure that people of yichus would marry people of yichus. If you have learned the fourth parak of Kiddushin, so you will know that this is something which was for them a challenge. For us still, it remains a challenge. But back in the day, it was even a more significant challenge, especially after... after Ezra comes up from Bavel with some of the Jewish people, but not a lot of the Jewish people, and so Yichus became a challenge. Anyway, so over here again, part of the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael was they were careful even about Yichus. Ubadku Rabbanim Yisur V'Naradam. Now, the rabbi said, now here in Bavel, can we talk about the same type of care that we had regarding Yichus? And the Gemara is going to basically say no. Well, we did a search from Surat to Nahardah. Those are the main cities of Bavel. And Velo Ashkechu Bar, Mibanti de Rav Chista, Daham Nesim, Lerami, Barchama, Lamar Ufa, Barchama. Here's the best that we came up with. We found one shidduch where a pair of brothers married a pair of sisters. That was it. And even that, even the one shidduch that we found, it wasn't even Kohen to Kohen. It was Kohen to non-Kohen. But still, that's all we got. The girls were the daughters of Kohanim. The boys were not. And the Gemara just wraps up this piece of Gemara by saying that a meal must have salt in it. Obviously, it's a take from the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about eating something which is maliach, but still seems to be somewhat awkwardly placed at the end of this discussion over here. The Mishnah's maliach is something that was very salty. Over here, we're just talking about the necessity of salt in a meal. It's not a meal without salt. I'm Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kol suda she'en bo sarif, eino suda. And Rabbi Chaya bar Abba quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if your meal doesn't have a soup in it, so that doesn't qualify as a meal. Okay, so try this at home. Next time you're sitting down to a fancy meal at your house, there's no soup over there. Gemara and brachos, daf mem dalid. Okay, it was a nice meal, but what can I tell you? Rabbi Yochanan said it would not have qualified. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first sugya for today. So the first sugya of today talked about Ikar V'Tafel. Obviously, the Mishnah gives an extreme example of Ikar V'Tafel, where the bread serves as a tafel, it serves as a secondary food to the maliach in order to negate the saltiness of that very salty food that you ate. The Ikar serves as the bracha that you have to make. The tafel does not require a bracha. In Lamdus, this is not a time for Lamdus, but in Lamdus, they say that in terms of the Ikar V'Tafel, there's two ways to say it in Lamdus. One is that the bracha that you make on the Ikar is going to cover the Tafel. So it's as if you made the bracha on the Tafel because the Tafel now comes along for the ride, so to say, in terms of the bracha. The other way to say it in Lamdus is that the Tafel doesn't require a bracha at all. Meaning the only thing that requires the bracha is the Ikar, not the Tafel. And then once you have the Chakira, once you have the Lamdus, so then you plug it into a number of different applications in terms of where we're going to find nafkamin is based on that lumdus. Okay, but not for now. We are up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah, achal anavim v'te'inim v'rimonim. So you're eating grapes and figs and pomegranates. Mevarcha acharem shalosh brachos divrim gamliel. So what do you do after them? So according to Rabbi Gamliel, you bench. You bench after you eat them. They're part of the shivas aminim. We saw this earlier in the Masechta, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, you bench after any of the shivas aminim. It's not just bread, according to Rami Gamliel. How does he arrive at that conclusion? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. The Chachamim omer bracha achas, and the Chachamim say, no, you make one bracha, meaning you make the alamichya. Now, in this case, I say alamichya. I'm only referring to the nature of the bracha, right? For five of the seven of the Shivas Aminim, it's not going to be alamichya, it's going to be alaitz. Okay, but you get the idea. In other words, you make that one bracha, which consolidates all three brachas into one. Rabbi Kiva Omer Afilo Achal Shalak Vehu Mizono. Rabbi Kiva says, let's say you eat a vegetable, and it happens to be that tonight that's my meal. So Mevarech Lav Gimel Bracha. So you make you bench over that. Meaning, according to Rabbi Kiva, benching is a function of you had a meal. And if this is your meal, so then you're going to bench over it.
But there's no hamotz either. You just make a hadama.
Yeah, right. Presumably. Hashosem Mayim Litzam O Mevarech Shakol Nibidvaro. The Mishnah over here talks about drinking water because you're thirsty. So if you're drinking water because you're thirsty, you make a bracha of shahakol. Now the inference of the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to teach us, is that if I'm drinking it, but not because I'm thirsty, so then I wouldn't make a shahakol. That's a reasonable inference. It's more than reasonable. The Gemara is going to teach it to us, so we're going to see that in the Gemara later on this morning. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, bor nefashos rabos v'chesronan. Now Rabbi Tarfon disagrees in terms of what the bracha you should make over water. He says the bracha should be bor nefashos. Now when you read the Mishnah, you think, oh, he's talking about the bracha achrona. And that's incorrect. He's not talking about the bracha achrona. He's talking about the bracha rishona. Meaning what we have over here is a debate amongst the Tanayim, what the appropriate bracha rishona is for water. And so Rabbi Tarfon says it should be bor nefashos rabos v'chesronan. Now, generally speaking, it's hard for us to think about it as a bracha rishona because we don't say it as a bracha rishona. We only say it as a bracha achrona. So stay tuned as we're going to come back to that point a little bit later on. But he's only talking about the bracha rishona.
You wouldn't make a bracha achrona.
We'll get there. We're getting there. We're not there yet, but that's coming. So my time of the Rami Gamliel. What is the basis of the opinion of Rami Gamliel? Dechsev Eretz Chita Sarah. So open up to the Torah, Parshas Ekev, and there you're going to see the pasuk of Achaltav Savato Verachtav. But we're looking earlier in that parsha at the psukim that come prior to that. And the Torah says that it's Eretz Chita Sarah. There the Torah introduces us to the Shivat Aminim. And then Uksiv Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskunas Tochal Balachem Uksiv Achaltav Savato Verachtav Hashem Lokecha. So if you're Rami Gamliel, it's actually pretty straightforward. You look at the flow of the psukim. So the Torah introduces us to the Shivat Aminim, and then the Torah says, then you're going to eat it. Now the eat it seems to be modifying all the Shivat Aminim, v'achalta, v'savata, uverachta, and you bench afterwards. So what seems to be now a very cogent argument that's given by Rabbi Gamliel as to why it is that you're going to be benching after any of the Shivat Aminim. V'rabanan eretz tifsik ha'inyan. Now as far as the Chachamim's counter-argument, the Chachamim say, look, when you get to the bracha of achalta v'savata v'erachta, it says, the pasuk says, and the Gemara actually quotes it, Eretz asher lo b'miskenus tocha ba lechem. So it's true that the Torah introduces us to the Shivat Aminim, but then the Torah puts a break, and the Torah says that you're going to be eating lechem. And then the Torah says, v'achalta v'savata v'erachta. So the Chachamim say that we're not going to go from the Shivat Aminim to benching, we're going to go Shivat Aminim to a further modification of lechem, and then benching. So that means to say that according to the Chachamim, the only time that benching is required is only for lechem. V'Rami Gamliel nami eretz tifsik ha'inyan. So now, Rami Gamliel, don't you agree? So obviously, Rami Gamliel is not going to agree. So, ahu mi ba'ile lemute kosis achita. Now, over there, the purpose of the Torah introducing us to lechem is just simply say that when you're eating the Shivat Aminim, and you're eating wheat or barley, not under all circumstances are you going to be benching. Notably, when you eat the grain in its natural state. If you're chewing on a piece of wheat, on a kernel of wheat, so then you're not going to make you're not going to wash, you're not going to make motzi, and you're not going to bench afterwards. What bracha do you make? So this takes us back to Daf Lamed Zion. The bracha Rishon is going to be a Bar Pri Adama. What about the bracha Achrona? So that was our really exciting Tosfos. Tosfos back on Lamed Zion discussed what's the bracha Achrona going to be after you chew on a wheat of kernel. And that Tosos basically scratches his head and says, I don't know. It's a tough one, meaning you're going to make a bar nefasho. So what do you mean? You ate one of the chamishas aminim. You ate one of the shivas aminim. And it's also one of the chamishas mine dagon. So you're going to make a bar nefasho? No. And you're going to bench? Well, no. You made a bar pri adama on the front end. You're not going to bench afterwards. So what's the bracha achron going to be? Oh, you'll make an alamichya? Alamichya is for foods that are mizonos. This is not a mizonos food. It's Adama food. So remember Rabbeinu Tam back on Lamed Zion? Takes us back now 2 weeks. But Rabbeinu Tam back on Lamed Zion says, well, here's what I'll do. I'll open up my Seder. I'll go to the Bracha of Alamechia, and I'll add a fourth category, meaning there are three categories. There's an Alamechia, there's an Alaitz, and there's an Alagefen. And I'll add a fourth category. I'll add an Al Hadama Val Pri Adama. And he added that to the Seder, to his very own Seder. And then Rabbi Natan, upon further consideration, said, you know what? I can't do that. In other words, it's not part of the Nusach that we have as part of the Mesorah. I can't just simply add a category in the Bracha. And so he erased it. And so it left Tosos with the question of, what's the Bracha Achrona? And Tosos concluded, I don't know. Okay.
And if you eat the, if you eat 250 grams, that would be satisfying for Amosi? If you have 250 grams.
Well, no, of wheat kernel?
A wheat kernel.
No. Oh. It's not bread. It's not bread.
Even if you eat to your satisfaction.
It's not bread. I'm Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Okay, I'm sorry, back to our Gemara over here. So our Gemara now brings down a Machlokas Tanaim. A Mishnah brought down a Machlokas Tanaim. When do you bench? According to Rami Gamliel, after the Shivat Aminim. According to the Chachamim, which obviously is a halacha that we follow, only after bread made up of grain. Right, the only two of the grains, by the way, I made this point before, but I don't mind repeating. Only two of the grains are mentioned in the Torah, chita and seora. Now we always say five grains, so there are three other grains: oats, spelt, and rye. And the Gemara, a number of places, says that the chita and seora are the main categories, and the three are subcategories of the main category. I forget. I forget how the three fits into the two. Meaning, it's one and two. One goes under one, and two goes under the other. I just forget which one goes under which. But anyway, that's the So if you eat bread made up of the five grains, then and only then do you bench that, the shita, the chacham, and that's obviously the halacha. Now, if you have a dish that's made up of the five grains, okay, what we call mizonos foods, but here the Gemara is introducing us. If you have a dish made up of the five grains, it's not bread, it wasn't baked in an oven, so the bracha you make on the front end is burimin mizonos. And then afterwards, bracha achas me'ein shalosh. And then afterwards, when you're done, you're going to make a bracha achas me'ein shalosh. Amar Rabba Bar Mari, Amar Rav Shua Malevi, Kol Shu Meshiva Samina, B'tchil Mevarach Bar Pira Eitz, Uvesof Bracha Achas Main Shalosh. And then, same thing with regarding fruit of the Shiva Saminim. So again, take out the wheat and the barley, because those are grains. So now you're left with five fruit. Of those five fruit, if you're eating it, so the Bracha Rishon is the Bar Pira Eitz, and the Bracha Chrona is Bracha Achas Main Shalosh. Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi, Mai Nihu. So what is the Nusach HaBracha? And here we go again. I told you, the Gemara does not give us the nusach of all the tefillos. The nusach of Shemoneh Esrei you're never going to find in Shas. You'll find structurally how the Amidah is supposed to go, but in terms of content, in terms of the actual nusach, we don't get it. But there are occasions here in Brachos where we get nusach. And here the Gemara is going to give us the nusach for the Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. What is this Alam Echi Bracha going to look like? Now over here in terms of the Girsa of our Gemara, it's fraught with a lot of difficulty. The Gaon cleans up a lot of the Girsa of our Gemara. So if you can, take a look at the Vilna Gaon, where basically it's going to be our Gemara, but he really cleans up and edits our Gemara. So he writes, "My niu bracha achas main gimel." Nichta b'tzido. So if you look, I'm reading from the Gra over here. The Gra, right, just in case, I'm sure I mentioned this before. The Vilna Gaon, 18th century. He does a job of editing the Gemara, meaning that at this point in time, the Gemara was already started going through a printing process, and so there was a printed version of the Gemara, but, you know, mistakes crept in. Remember, for a good amount of history, the Gemara was copied by hand from generation to generation, from about the 5th century on the way all the way through until its first printing. I'm not a bucky on the printing of the Gemara. Happens to be that we... Dr. Abramson, he moved to New York. Anyway, he happens to be an absolute expert on this matter. But anyway, okay, so mistakes crept in here and there. We're talking about mistakes of letters and really just small little errors. Once there was a nusach of a Gemara, so it was kept. Nobody touches, nobody changes it. But over time, various gedolim, so they quote unquote touched up the Gemara. But they wouldn't actually change the Girsa of the Gemara. What they would do is they simply write on the side, this is what I think the Girsa should be. So the person who was most given credit for this is Zabach, right, who was earlier, historically, about 16th century. So he touched up the Gemara. And then later in the 18th century, so the Vilna Gaon. Any published Gemara is going to have the Gaon's editing of the Gemara. And obviously, it's kept on the side. His editing wasn't inserted into the Gemara, but he knew the Gemara backwards, forwards, inside out. He knew it perfectly. And so we assume, generally speaking, that when he edits, the editing is accurate. I heard, I don't know if it's true, but in other words, obviously, editing a piece of Gemara is serious business. So I heard again, it's a story, so, you know, in terms of historical verification, I can't tell you. But he would fast every time that he would edit anything in the Gemara. So nichta b'tzido. So amrei chamesh saminim ala michya ve'al kakala. Ad tov ha'metu v'chol ha'lakol. V'chosim ala arz v'ala michya. Aperei de'etz ala etz. So you see what the Gaon's doing now? Basically what he's doing is that he's taking our Gemara, he's organizing it so that our Gemara is really addressing what happens if you eat a mizonos. What is it going to sound like? What if happens if you eat in ha'etz? What is it going to sound like? Ala etz va'al priya etz, dechamer ala gefen al priya gefen, and then wine, ala gefen al priya gefen, meaning the Gaon's editing our Gemara so that the first thing the Gemara does is introduce all three versions of this bracha. And then, michtam b'may chasim, Rav Chista Amar, keinu girsas rif, v'rash, ul girsas shalanan, sarachian, lama lo pasha meheiminim. So the... Okay, and this is the Girsa of the Rif and the Rush. Now remember, by the way, the Gaon's editing. Based on what? So based on the way the Gemara is copied over by the Rishonim. So over here, the Rishonim had it in the format the Gaon laid out, so therefore he feels that This is correct. And our gear, so the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara writes it very clearly over here. Our gear, so over here, is curious slash questionable slash probably not right. But anyway, okay. Thank you.
That was the Siddurim in the time of the Goyim had to be changed because the Tavi didn't have the
right. He's not, I mean, in one area, the Nusach is different from our Gemara than it is here. He's not so much editing the Nusach HaBracha as he's editing the way the Gemara is presenting the Brachas. Okay, now go back to our Gemara. Now with that in mind, so Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi Mainihu, what are they? Okay, so Bracha Achas Main Shalosh, Amalei Aperi De Eitz. So you see what just happened, by the way. Meaning, our Gemara just kind of glossed over the Mizonos and the Alamicha. What happened over there? So now we understand a lot better. So what happened is, it went missing. How it went missing, unclear, but it went missing. Anyway, that's what the Gon did. He brought it back. And now, the Aperi Aetz, so for the Bracha, after eating any of the fruit, now we have the word na. Now in the Gemara, the Gersus ba, our Gersus bivinyana. Kiata, we have Shem Hashem over here. Tov meitiv lakol. Okay, the Chamesh Zaminim. Now the Gemara brings us the Chamesh Zaminim. Again, according to the Gaon, it's flipped. But anyway, and now I apologize, by the way, for not translating the words of the Alamichia. For that, I leave you to your own research. Open up a sitter; you can see the translation inside. Now, the next line of the Gemara: so, what's going to be the chasima? How is it going to conclude? Now, the Gemara's question over here is as follows: basically, and again, I'm just going to be following the Gon over here. What is going to be the chasima if, let's say, you ate multiple foods? Meaning, let's say you ate grains and fruit. So now, this alamicha is going to incorporate two different ideas in it. And how is that going to sound like? So, kiyasar avdim amarav chasin, berosh chodesh, baruch mekadosh yisov reshech hadashim, hachamai. Now, the Gon feels that line doesn't belong there because it's not really germane to our discussion. But anyway, but I'll translate. And Rosh Chodesh, so we make the bracha of Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rashei Chadashim, which is the Gemara's way of basically saying, I mean, if this is the correct Yirsa, that you can end a bracha on two themes. It's not out of the question to end a bracha on two themes. Although, again, it's a difficult Gemara because the Gemara is bothered by this elsewhere, and the Gemara elsewhere says that's not two themes, it's really thematically one thing. When we say Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rashei Chadashim, what we mean is that the Jewish people are Mekadosh the Rosh Chodesh. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara just took out that last line. So basically, the Gemara wants to know, what is the bracha going to end with when you eat multiple foods? So Rav Chista Amar ala arz v'al peroseha, and Rav Yochanan Amar ala arz v'al peros. Okay, so if it's fruit, so it's going to be ala arz v'al, and then a question of what that next word's going to be. So Rav Chista says peroseha, and Rav Yochanan says peros. Now, the difference being, peros says possessive. It means her fruit, meaning Eretz Yisrael. And the way Rav Yochanan reports it, just simply fruit, without the possessive. Now, that's very difficult. Why? Because when we're talking about the possessive form of her fruit, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. So who should be making that nusach? Someone living in Eretz Yisrael. Who lives in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Yochanan. Who should be saying it without the possessive? Well, that should be the Bnei Bava. Who lives in Bava? So it's Rav Chista. So, Olam Hafach. It's a... Right now we're all confused. So Amram v'lo pliga halam v'halahu. So first the Gemara points out that the discrepancy between whether or not you say ala aretz v'ala peros versus ala aretz v'al peroseha depends on whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel. Lan means us, meaning this is the Talmud Bavli. That means us and Bavel will do it one way, and lahu and them, pointing to Eretz Yisrael, they'll do it a different way. So maskal Rav Nachmar Yitzchak inu achle anan mivarchin. So the Gemara says they eat their fruit and we're going to be making a bracha, meaning it doesn't make sense. The possessive form of peroseha shouldn't be said by the Bnei Bavel, should be said by Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, excellent point, ela epoch. So okay, so flip it around. And Rabbi Abahu, sorry, the Rav Yochanan Amar ala arz v'al peroseha. Okay, so the Gemara says good. So good, so we'll flip it around. So now everything works. Rav Chisda says al arts v'la peres, he's in Bavel, no possessive form, because it's not a shout out to Eretz Bavel, but meanwhile, if in Eretz Yisrael, al arts v'al pero seha. Okay, that is the nusach of the end of the bracha for the peres. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, as we now are on the top of Memdalad Amud Beis, al habeya v'al mine kufra. So now let's say you eat an egg, you eat meat. What is the bracha going to be? So b'tzchilim avarach shakol. So the bracha rishon is going to be shakol v'sof bor nefashos rabos. So then the bracha achron is going to be bor nefashos. Aval yarkalo. But if you're eating vegetables, there's not going to be a bracha achrona. There will be a bracha rishona, but there won't be a bracha achrona. Now this may sound somewhat scandalous. It's not scandalous. Meaning the bracha of bor nefashos that is said after a food has not been introduced in the Mishnayos. Right. Pause for reflection. It has not. Meaning that the Mishnayos talk about the Alamichya. The Mishnayos talk about benching. The Mishnayos do not make any reference whatsoever to Bar Nefashos. Now, there is a Mishnah that mentions Bar Nefashos, and that happens to me, the Mishnah we just learned. But the Mishnah we just learned was talking about a Bar Nefashos as a Bracha Rishona for water. But it is not necessarily instituted as a Bracha Achrona. And think about it now. In other words, what have we been focusing on over the course of this perek? We're finishing up today. So we've been focusing on fruits, vegetables, bread, oil, produce. That's been our focus. And so when you're eating a food that does not demand a bracha of ha'etz or hadama, so is there a bracha achrona? So what we're going to see now in our Gemara is that the opinion of some Amoraim is no. Or not a flat no, but depends. And so we started with the opinion of Rav Yitzchak, who's quoting Rabbeinu, and presumably Rabbeinu over here is a reference to Rav, is that, look, for eggs and for meat, okay, they're proteins, fine. So you'll make a shakel and you'll make a bor nefashos afterwards. But if it's just a vegetable, so where it's not benching afterwards, it's not ala eitz, it's not one of the shivas aminim, fine, so there's no bracha chrono. Rav Yitzchak, Amar Afila Yirakav Amayelo. Now, Rav Yitzchak is going to broaden the bracha achrona bor nefashos. Okay, so for meats and eggs, yes. For vegetables, also bor nefashos, but according to Rav Yitzchak, not for water. Right? Water is not significant enough where it's going to demand a bracha achrona. And then Rav Papa Amar Afila Maya, and Rav Papa says, no, you'll make a bor nefashos over water. Now, obviously, this is the halacha that we have accepted, but just if you hear out the Gemara, there are, right, a lot of Amoraim, I mean, two, but there are a number of Amoraim who are of the opinion that for the quote-unquote less significant foods that are not associated with Peres Haaretz and the Shivas Aminim, so there just simply isn't a bracha achrona. Marzutra Avid Karav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Rav Shimon Bar Ashi Avid Karav Yitzchak. And so the Gemara says that Marzutra followed Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, that was the first opinion, and Rav Shimon Bar Ashi followed like Rav Yitzchak, that was the second opinion. So again, so more Amoraim who did not make a bracha achrona and everything. So v'siman chad ketrei v'chei v'chad. And then the Gemara gives us a mnemonic. You want to help us remember who said what? The one with two names was following the one with one name. And the one with one name was following the one with two names. Okay, mnemonic. Am Rav Ashi anazimna d'chi mitkarana avdina kakulu. Rav Ashi says that when I remember, so I'll follow everyone's opinion. Meaning I'll make a bur nefashos, but when I remember. Okay, talk about a tepid endorsement of Rav Papa's position. Yeah, I'll make a bar nefashos on everything, if I can remember. it's certainly an unusual way to say over a halacha. Tanan kol shetom bracha l'acharav, tom bracha l'fanav, v'yesh tom bracha l'fanav, v'ein tom bracha l'acharav. The Mishnah Nida, we saw this not so long ago. The Mishnah Nida taught us that anything that requires a bracha afterwards requires a bracha beforehand. And there are those things that require a bracha beforehand, but do not require a bracha afterwards. Right, remember those Mishnayos over there in Ida that basically said when there's A, there's necessarily B, but not the reverse is not true. Sometimes there could be B without A. And the Mishnah gave us a number of examples. Well, this being one of them. Now, Bishlam l'Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi l'Afukei Yirak l'Rav Yitzchak l'Afukei Maya. So according to the first two Amorayim, bingo. Meaning we have foods that require bracha rishona but don't require bracha achrona. According to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, that would be vegetable. According to Rav Yitzchak, that would be water. So good. So, but Ella, Rav Papa, La Fukimai. But according to Rav Papa, you're always making a bracha achrona. So, what would the thing be? I'll say food, but it's going to end up being not food. But what's the food that's going to be a bracha rishona, but no bracha achrona, according to Rav Papa? So lafuge mitzvos. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to go off script over here. And that is, we're talking about mitzvos. In other words, mitzvos, there's a bracha rishona, but there's no bracha achrona by a mitzvah. Okay?
Well, that's a whole separate category of brachas.
It's a whole separate category of brachas.
Man, this is...
I'm with you. I'm with you. But we're looking for an example. Meaning the Mishnah is giving us a category, we're just looking for an example. The Mishnah didn't say brachas nanin. The Mishnah neither just simply said bracha. Okay? Ulevnei ma'arava debasa de mesalki tefilasa mevarcha kesher kishanu b'mitzvos avitz divan lishmor chukav lafuki mai. Now there's a minhag Eretz Yisrael. And we saw this back in Nida, and we're saying it again here in brachas. And that is minhag Eretz Yisrael. They would take off their tefillin, and they would make a bracha after they took off their tefillin. So if that's true, which it was, meaning that was the minhag Eretz Yisrael, so now give me an example. What example is there of something where I make a bracha rishona, but I don't make a bracha achrona? Lafukei rechani. So the Gemara says, birchas areach. Yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, for birchas areach, everyone's in agreement. You make a bracha before, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. Okay. A number of points I'll say over really quickly, too quickly, in fact. What's this minhag Eretz Yisrael? That they would make a bracha after they would take off their tefillin. Was that their minhag for all mitzvos? Was that something specific to tefillin and only tefillin? So Tosus over here, Tosus Dibra Maskol of Nehemar Rava, so he discusses that point. Tosus here happens to be of the opinion that was only for tefillin. That's a difficult position, and you can see Tosus, I'm not going to go through it in detail, but you can see Tosus why he feels that way. But it is a bit difficult because then the Gemara is grasping for examples of something where there's a bracha rishona, but there's no bracha achrona. So if this minhag Eretz Yisrael was only for tefillin, so then any other mitzvah, there'd be a bracha rishona, there'd be no bracha achrona. Why didn't the Gemara just simply say shar mitzvahs? Right. Okay, that's a, right, Tosus himself is sensitive to that issue. Fine. In fact, Tosus ends off by asking that very question. Okay, anyway, see Tosus over there for that discussion. Obviously, we don't follow minhag Eretz Yisrael. We don't make a bracha when we take off our tefillin. Why are they knowing that way? And according to Tosus, why specific to tefillin? So again, I'm sorry for just kind of pointing in the direction, but see Tosus for that discussion of why he feels it's specific to tefillin. Birchas areach. There's no bracha achrona on birchas areach. The Gemara says that categorically, unequivocally. Why should that be? Why is there no bracha achrona on birchas areach? So over here, we saw this back in Nida as well. So one suggestion would be that birchas areach, so it is a fleeting hana. It's a hana, but it's a fleeting hana when you're eating. So even after you finished eating, but you still feel the effects of the food. So therefore the hana lingers. But when it comes to reach, so the moment that the reach is no longer there, so the hana is no longer there. Okay, that's a possibility. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi, Koshu Kebeitza, Beitza Tovi Mimeno. Okay, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be giving some health advice from the Gemara. First of all, if you have a food that is the size of an egg, so and you compare it to an egg, nothing compares to an egg. In terms of its health benefits, the egg is the best of something that size. So Kiyasa Rabin Amar, and Rabin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he has the following Masorah. Tava Biasa, so an egg is better, Migugulasa. If it's just partially roasted, Migugulasa is a description of the egg. An egg which is partially roasted is better, Mishisa Kaisa Sulsa, better than 6 lugin of fine flour. Okay. Egg is fin. Again, right? It's funny. No, it's not of an equivalent size. 6 lugan is going to be greater than 1 egg. Anyway, Kiyasa Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Here we go. Second time today, right? Ravin, Rav Dimi, right? We should be able to predict it. So if Ravin comes in and says something, Rav Dimi is going to come in as well. They come as a tandem. So Rav Dimi Amar Tava Biasa Megugulasa. So the partially roasted egg is better. Mishisa Matvasa Me'arba Mevushalta. Is better than fully. Migugula mishisa. It's better than 6 of the fine flour and matvisa. And if it's fully roasted, mearba mevushalta. I'm sorry, mearba. It's better than 4 lugin and mevushalta. And if it's cooked, koshu kebeitza beitza tova imeno. There's nothing better than a cooked egg. Meaning, in terms of health benefits and quality, nothing better than a cooked egg. Labar mi basra, with no, notable exception of being meat. Okay, meat is going to be the only substitute that's better than an egg. So something of the size of an egg. So in terms of health benefits, from the Gemara standpoint, meat's on top, egg is after that. And then after that, dealer's choice. Rabbi Kiva Amar Afilo Achal Shelek. According to Rabbi Kiva, if you eat the stalk of a vegetable, I gave away the Gemara. So you're going to bench. So umi ikamida da havishalik mazone. Now you're eating a vegetable, and that's going to be mazon, and that's going to be soed, and you're going to bench. So am ravashi bekelach shel kruv shano. We're talking about the stalk of a vegetable. And so the Gemara says the stalk of a vegetable can provide some sort of nourishment. And if that's your dinner, then you're going to bench. Okay, obviously we don't pass like Rabbi Kiva, but certainly understand his position. It is soe. That's what right now constitutes your meal. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, and more health advice coming from the Gemara. There are going to be a lot of points that are going to be made in succession. We're going to see a brisa right now. The brisa is going to machine gun to us many different points. And then the Gemara is going to go back and discuss all these points. So I'm going to read the brisa quickly. And then afterwards, we're going to basically dissect every point of the brisa and see it in more detail. Tana Rabbanan t'chol yafal ishnaim, kashal lebnei ma'ayim. So the spleen, presumably spleen of an animal, so it's great for the teeth, but it's not good for your intestines. Krishim leaks, kashim lishinaim, v'yafal lebnei ma'ayim. So it is difficult for your teeth, but it's really good for your intestine and for your bathroom movement. Kol yerek chai morik. Raw vegetables, no good. It basically is going to make you pale. Chol katan maktin. Anything that you ate prematurely, in other words, it didn't reach full maturation, so it's going to have the same effect on you. It'll prevent you from growing. V'chol nefesh meshiv es hanefesh. Anything that had life in it is good for you, and it's going to help you with your life. V'chol karvo nefesh meshiv es hanefesh. Anything close to life is also going to be very good for you and provide for you vitality. Again, all this is going to be explained. Kruv lamazon v'treidin l'refuah. Kruv is good because it provides you a certain amount of nourishment. And beets, that's good for refuah. Okay, so borscht is good for your health. Oilo l'beisha alefes overes besocho. And woe to the house that sees turnip going through it. Okay, otherwise stated, turnip is not good. Okay, now, there were a lot of points in that brisa, and here we go. Step by step, point by point. I'm Amar. T'chol yafal l'shenem v'kash l'b'nei mayim. So eating the spleen of an animal so is good for your teeth, but not good for your intestines. So my takante. So let's say you want the benefits of the spleen, but you don't want the ill effects of it. So what do you do? So nil asev nishtaya. So basically what you do is you chew it, and then you spit it out. Okay, the first chewing gum in history. Okay, number two, creation. Kashal l'shinam v'yafan l'b'nei mayim, my takante, lishkalinu v'nivlinu. So as far as the leaks are concerned, so it's not good for your teeth, but it's good for your intestines. So therefore, cook it real good. And basically make a soup out of it. And that's how you'll now ingest it. You'll get the wonderful GI benefits of it, but it won't affect your teeth. Kol yerchai morik, raw vegetables, not good. So amar rav yitzchak besuda rishona shel achar hakaza. That's limited only to the first meal after you bloodlet. So the first meal after your bloodlet should not have raw vegetables as part of the diet. Amar rav yitzchak kol ha'ochel yerek kodem arba shos, also l'saper heimenu. Somebody's eating vegetables. First 4 hours of the day, don't talk to that person. My time and mishum recha. So it produces really bad breath. I'm Rav Yitzchak asal adam shiocha yerechai kodem arba shaos. Rav Yitzchak says it's stronger. He says that you're once forbidden from eating vegetables, raw vegetables, in the first 4 hours of the day. Now he doesn't give an explanation. Presumably it's a health issue. The word asur is a really strong word. Okay, but he feels strongly about it. Amar amemar mazutra Rav Ashi aviyasvei. Three Amoraim were sitting together. Aisu kamayu yerek chai kodem arba shos. And so, of the three Amoraim that were sitting there, and a raw vegetable was presented to them, and it was within the first 4 hours of the morning, Amemar Rav Ashi achal marzucha lo achal. Two out of three rabbis. Sounds like a commercial. So two out of three rabbis ate from the raw vegetable at that time in the morning. Amalei my day tech, the Amrei Vietzka kol ha'ochel yerek kodem arba shos, also l'sapre imen mishum recha. And now the two say to the one, well, what's the issue? Bad breath? Okay, bad breath. Oh, fine. So our breath is somewhat displeasing. V'ha'anan dekachinu v'kamishtayim behadan. Look, we're eating it, and you're talking to us. So, in other words, okay. It's bad breath, but it's not terrible breath. So, amalehu anna ki'idach the revyesvek sirilei. Spherely. He says, no, I hold like the other statement of Rav Yitzchak, which was, I'm Rav Yitzchak, Asur la'adam shiocho yerechai kodem arba shaos. I maintain that it's mamash and isser, meaning it's not just a bad breath issue. Again, without an explanation given, but objectively, it's just simply not the correct thing to do. And so therefore, that's what I subscribe, and that's why I'm not partaking. Okay, next. Kolkata maktin. Anything that has not reached full maturity and you eat it, so it will stagnate your own growth. So Amr Rav Chista, afilu gaja barzuza. Let's say you have a goat and it's barzuza and it's worth a zuz, which means that you spent some money on it, right? On Pesach night, how much was the goat? Two zuzim. Okay, talk about an exciting goat. So okay, fine. So gaja barzuza. Even if it's a goat barzuza, but if it's immature, if it has not fully developed, so that's not good. Now that's only if it has not reached a quarter of its growth, meaning that in this particular halacha / etza, it's only if it's really immature, where it has not yet reached a fourth of its growth. However, if it has arrived at a quarter of its growth, then there's no concern. You should be eating something that was alive. Eating something that was alive, obviously now it's not alive. And if a shechit is required, then shecht it. And if it's a fish, obviously you don't need to shecht it. But in other words, basically, be a carnivore. And that is meshiv nefesh. And if you want to follow this etzah, it could be even small fish that grow amongst the shallow reeds. In other words, but it's something that was alive, meshiv nefesh. So you eat it, again, not while it's alive. That's bal tashaktsu. But in other words, the point is that you should be eating such a protein. It's good for you. And kol hakarov lenefesh, meshiv as a nefesh. Now, this next point of the braisa, what is that describing? Karov lenefesh. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov unka. So it's talking about the neck of the animal. Eating the neck of the animal is really good. Why is that called karov lenefesh? Because where do you shecht the animal? By its neck. So it's losing its life by its neck. So that particular area has extra health benefits. We saw this back in Chulin. The Gemara here in Brachos is repeating the same idea. And Rava tells his attendant, you make sure that when you get me a piece of meat, get me a piece of meat from where the bracha is made, the bracha shechita. Where's the bracha shechita made? By the neck, because that's where you're shechting the animal. Basically, he says, get me a piece of the neck. Kruv lamazum v'terdin lefua. We're almost done. As far as kruv is concerned, that is good for its caloric intake and its nutritional value. Beets, that's good for refua. Kruv lamazun en refua lav. The Gemara is just the Gemara is bothered by the inference because it sounds like kruv is just good in terms of giving some nutritional value, but not necessarily have health benefits. Vatanya, but the Gemara says, but I have a brisa. She should var marpim mesachola michel yom or refua son refua. Six foods provide health benefits. Its refua is a refua, meaning it's really healthy. And they are kruv v'tardim e'sisim dvash keva v'haris v'yoseres ha'kaved. So the six food items already you see from the number one food item mentioned over here. So that's kruv, and obviously over here kruv is valued as a health benefit in addition to being a food. Also the beets, me'sisim, some sort of water infused with herbs, dvash is honey, keva, that's the stomach of the animal. The haris is the womb, okay? And yoseres ha'kaved, probably the diaphragm. Okay, so ela ema kruv af lamazon. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says just a small correction in our understanding. It means kruv is good for refua and for mazon. Arilo lebei shalefetz overes besocho. Turnip. If you see turnip in your house, woe to that household. Ini v'hamar amalei Rav Lashame. Once again, Rav reports and says to his attendant, ki chazis lifta b'shuka. So when you see turnip in the marketplace, lo temali b'mai karachta rifta. So then don't ask me, what am I interested in having in my sandwich today? Meaning, you know what I want in my sandwich. I want turnip. So Amar Abaye Mibli Basar. So turnips by itself is not good. But if you supplement it with another food, so then it will be fine. What does it need to be supplemented with? Okay, so here we go. Abaye says it needs to be supplemented with meat. Rav Amar Mibli Yayin. Rav is of the opinion it has to be supplemented with wine. Itmar Rav Amar Mibli Basar. Shmuel Amar Mibli Eitzim. And here, more debate on how the turnip needs to be prepared. So Rav says that it is not good without meat, meaning it needs to be supplemented with meat. Shmuel says it needs to be cooked really well. You're going to eat that turnip, but you got to cook it really well. Rav Yochanan may mibli yayin. And Rav Yochanan says if it's not supplemented with wine, it's a problem, meaning supplemented with wine. Amale Rav la Rav Papa. So Rav says to Rav Papa Subdani. Now this is Rav's description. It's his nickname, so to say, for Rav Papa. And he calls him the Sudani. What does that mean, the Sudani? Right, not the country. So on the side of the Gemara, he gives a pshat. So Sod Hashem Le'Re'av. He refers to him as somebody who knows the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, based on the Pasuk. Rashi Imenachu says, do you know why Rav Papa is referred to as a Sudani? Because he made beer. That was his livelihood. He was a brewer. And as a brewer, the Gemara in a number of places reports he did very well as a brewer. So Sudani just simply means he was the brewer. So Anan Tavrinan Le Bibisr V'chamra. So I can use both meat and wine when I'm eating my turnip. Ason de lo nafish lechu chamra by my tavrisula. But you don't have that much wine. So what do you do? So Amar Le Bitsivi. So he says, oh, what do? I get a lot of twigs, meaning I get a lot of fuel and I cook it really well. Ki had de vasad de rapapa basa de mavashala tavla bitamnin ufe parsaisa. And the wife of Rapapa, when she would make the turnip, so she would use a lot of logs, 80 blocks of wood, in order to cook the turnip. Tan Rabbanan, Da'kat Malech Pamim Shu Memis Memis. So in terms of the herring, so herring can kill you. B'Shiva, B'Shiva Asar Uve Esrim V'Shiva. Now these numbers over here are basically signify the following. So the herring that was eaten back then, so I say herring, whatever, it's small fish. But it was salted. And so, and it was left in its salting. And it doesn't seem that appetizing. It decayed a little bit. Okay, whatever. But the point is that in certain days, post-salting are just not good days. And that's what these numbers signify. The 7th, 17th, 27th day post-salting, so those are days where you should not eat it. So I could just imagine in the fridge, by the way, they labeled, right? The day was salted. Okay, now you know. It didn't have expiration dates. It had an expiration dates. Right. So, and v'amrila esrim v'shlosha. Now some take out 27 and replace it with 23. V'lo amar ela ben matve v'lo matve. Now, the only time that this really is a concern is when this particular fish was lightly roasted. So it was lightly roasted coupled with the salting, and so therefore questionable whether you should eat it, and there are days which you for sure should not eat it. But if you're roasting the fish well, so then don't worry. Go ahead and eat it. Now, even lightly roasted fish, so you wash it down with some beer, and the Gemara says, you need not worry. Now, drinking water because you are thirsty. So the Mishnah taught us that the bracha there is going to be a shahakol. Now, lafuke maya marvidi bar avin lafuke laman dechankase umsa. So the Gemara says over here that the diak in the Mishnah is very good. And what do we learn from the Mishnah? That let's say, for example, you're choking and you're having a drink of water just because you're choking. So that's not drinking litzamei, and therefore the bracha would not be a shahakol. Presumably, that would include, let's say you're just drinking water to wash down a pill. So that also would not be drinking litzamei, and therefore the bracha would not be a shahakol. You wouldn't make a bracha. Not even. In other words,
you're not getting an hour from it.
It's right. Okay, could be. Just in other words, the diak is very straightforward. Tosus over here, top Tosus on Mem Hayam and Aleph, says that this idea that if I'm not drinking a liquid litzamei, I don't make a bracha, is only limited to water. Tosus says that for any other mashkim, for any other juices, so there's no such concept. Meaning, you can't just simply say, oh, the orange juice is to wash down a pill. Right? Tosus says for that, you got to make a bracha. This is only specific to water. Again, you see that by water, there's this idea that water is too simple a food. Again, I hearken back to what we learned earlier this morning, that when it comes to water, there are some Amorim who didn't make a bracha achrona on water, even though they made a bracha rishona. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon Amar Bar Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronan. So, and Rabbi Tarfon says, what is the bracha over water? It's not even shahakol. He had a different nusach of Bar Nefashos. Again, bracha rishona. He said as a bracha rishona. Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanel Abayi V'Amrila L'Rav Yosef Hilchos Amai. Okay, who does Allah Chafal like? Amalei Pokhazi Mai Amadavar. So the response is, what you asking me what the halach is? Go out, see what people do, see how people make brachas, and find out what the minhag olam is. We're going to follow the minhag olam over here. Rashi writes over here, the top Rashi, last Rashi on the perek. Heich noagim ukvar nagul avarch betchil shakul avasof bar nefashos rabos v'chesronan akoma shabara. So Rashi says that after water, so the minhag olam is to make a bracha rishon of a shakul and the bracha achron of bar nefashos. Okay, Akan Hadron al Ketz and Mevarchin, that is the end of the sixth parak.